This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, January 29th, 2025. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're listening to us on one of them, our terrestrial stations, or on the app, or watching us on social media, or catching us later by podcast, it's always nice to have you along. Thank you so much for being here today. A lot to talk about this morning, a lot to talk about and put in perspective, because we told you the first few days of this new administration were going to be chaotic, and they were going to be chaotic on purpose. Mission accomplished yesterday when the White House announced that it wanted to basically just cut all federal funding going to grants and loans, not necessarily direct checks, you know, things like Medicare or what have you, Social Security, but anything that goes through agencies. Well, that's a lot of stuff that goes through agencies. And so understandably, a lot of people were panic-stricken, frankly, not knowing if there were going to be meals to serve today for seniors or school lunches, or if checks were going to go out to farmers, all kinds of things that we're going to talk about over the course of this morning. We'll do so with Melissa Baldoff at 6:30. We'll talk about the Wisconsin impact of it about an hour from now with Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro. Then at 7:30, we'll talk to Chris Thiel in our homeroom segment. He's the legislative specialist for Milwaukee Public Schools. There is a new shell game out there being proposed for the Wisconsin state budget. It's already tough enough to figure out how much of your tax money is being skimmed off the top, money that's supposed to go to your local public schools, and instead is being shifted over to private, usually religious schools, often for families that could afford to send their kids there but are now getting vouchers for it. There's a new way of making the voucher school program even less transparent, potentially, in terms of its cost to taxpayers. Or if it makes it more transparent in a way, there's a way to fix it in the budget so that you can't touch it, even if you don't like how much money is now going to the voucher schools. And if you have not been following this story over the past few years, what was once a teeny tiny experimental program in Milwaukee has just exploded in terms of the hundreds of millions of dollars a year that it costs Wisconsin taxpayers. And so we'll talk to Chris Thiel about that as well. We'll take in your input, of course, if you'd like to call or text the show. It's 855-75-CIVIC. Prefer the text today just because the phone system's going to be a little kittywampus for a couple of days. I'll explain in a moment. But your texts are always welcome, 855-75-CIVIC. Or head over to social media, the YouTube page, the Facebook page. You can watch what we do as well, and we'll tell you more about what's happening in the show throughout the course of the day. But first off, let's get some temperatures nailed down at the bus stop at 6 a.m. It is 32 degrees here in Chippewa Falls, 23 in Hayward, 29 in Amory, Wausau's at 29, La Crosse is 33, Wisconsin Rapids 32 right now, Green Bay 34, Madison 36. It's 34 in Waukesha. It's 38 degrees at Radio Park in Racine, where we'd normally talk to one Greg Bach. You are not Greg Bach.
I'm not. You were just realizing this. Oh, okay.
You are a strange voice to early morning radio here for folks that don't know that, you know, Thursday mornings at 7:50. We welcome the handsome and capable Luke Mathers, and now he's here bright and early filling in for Mr. Bach this morning.
Mathers.
How are you there in lonely Studio A2 in Madison?
I'm having fun here in Madison. I already said hello to the morning guys on the airwaves here in Madison. They're Tony, always right. Comment. Yep,
Tony's
always
on YouTube going, Greg, did you become more capable and handsome? No, it's Luke.
That's, Greg, that's if you're listening is. Right now, please go catch that airplane and have an excellent time out of the office.
Yes. Have a great time for a few days. Mr. Mathers will capably fill in here from the top of State Street right near the state capitol there. Did you get in your own little winter getaway yet? Or anything post-election?
Nothing.
Or have you been bound to Sun Prairie ever since?
I've been just chugging away. So I got some time off coming up. I believe you and I unfortunately scheduled it around the same time. So I'll be out of the office about the same time that you'll be out of the office. So people are going to be missing us.
Do you know where I'm going that week? Do you know where I'll be?
I feel like you've told me, but I
no, I haven't. And
really?
Like, if we're taking the same time off, I'm like, if you show up on that beach, I swear, no.
I got the room right next to yours. What are you talking about? Show up on the beach?
I got to see the Speedo. It's not a good thing.
I was always a jammer man. I had the jammers in high school because they'd fit better under the scuba diving suit than I was. Yep.
Okay. Good. So we hope Greg is having a great time. Brittany, of course, is just freshly back from her trip. I'm going to be taking off on mine before too much longer here. Tis the season, we say.
It is. It is the season. And Pat, don't you worry. You don't have to fret. You, I know, are a beach man. I am less of a beach man. I am the mountains. So I will be out in the mountains.
Oh, I love the mountains. I just love the beaches more.
Yeah,
so,
same. A beach is a good time, but for me, I want to be out in the mountains when I'm recharging my batteries.
Yep. For sports here, we can tell you that the Badger men's basketball team is playing tonight against Maryland. Coverage begins at 5 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network and through the app. That's my lead-in to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks here, because Mr. Mathers stayed up a little bit past his bedtime as the Bucks lost in Portland 125-112. So this is our Bucks chat portion. Set a timer. All right, 23 seconds we'll give you. Tell us about your feelings on the Bucks these days, Mr. Mathers.
I did not stay up. I knew that I had to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for you this morning, so I only made it through about halfway through the second quarter. The Bucks were taking care of business in the first half. They were up by, I want to say, 5 or 7 points when I turned the game off. But unfortunately, lost to Portland, who's on the losing side of 500 right now, but just by a couple of games. But Dame Lillard's only second time, I believe, now back in Portland since the trade. So it's always kind of fun to see how games like that go when you have a superstar return to where they were.
We're past 23 seconds now. So, I mean, let's wrap this thing up.
Go Bucks. Bucks and six, baby.
Bucks and six. That is the perfect sign-off for every Bucks report. In the daily newsletter that we put out for you at Up North News, Christina Laurie puts it together. And today there's an article in there about women going into trade apprenticeships. There is so much career opportunity in the trades these days, and there are more apprenticeship opportunities available than ever before. A big part of that coming from Governor Tony Evers. There have been also federal manufacturing apprenticeship initiatives out there. Don't know if they're going to last, but they certainly will here in Wisconsin, so you can read up about that, as well as 24 different must-read mysteries by Wisconsin authors. That's in our newsletter. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter up in the top banner. Let's talk for a couple of minutes here about what is happening with Donald Trump making this announcement that he wants to freeze federal aid to some degree. In talking about the chaos that was intentionally set off by Donald Trump yesterday, let me start with the other great scene of chaos involving mass arrests of undocumented immigrants. I mean, city after city, these folks at ICE, they have a plan and they are executing it day after day. Can you imagine if we had a presidential administration dedicated to bringing that much manpower, planning, and attention to actually serving us? What if the kind of mindset focused on arresting people went into running federal programs designed to help Americans every day? Just think about it. No big waits for Head Start information, no hiccups in the school lunch program, easy paperwork for community development block grants, plenty of food options for our seniors who need Meals on Wheels, timely delivery of resources for researchers at the National Institutes of Health, more homes getting old lead paint removed, more grants for job training and employment services, faster funding through the Manufacturing Extension Partnership for small blue-collar businesses around Wisconsin, prompt processing for Wisconsin farmers through the Conservation Reserve Program, longer-range planning for disaster readiness through FEMA preparedness grants, more bulletproof vests for law enforcement agencies dealing with tight local budgets, stable heating bills for low-income families in the dead of winter, and on and on. Can you imagine that boosted efficiency? If Donald Trump took the zeal he has for rounding up brown people and applied it to actual public service for all of these things, he'd be a legend. Instead, as you can probably guess, every one of these essential programs I just listed, and many, many more, were threatened yesterday with a full and unannounced cutoff. Donald Trump did not campaign on stopping Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors. He did not tell you he was going to cut road safety projects or state-based homeland security initiatives. But that was always the plan. And while a judge late yesterday hit the pause button, it has been a busy 18 hours as people and agencies and businesses took in that gut punch. Plus, there was, here in the Chippewa Valley and no doubt in countless other communities, another round of false alarms about raids coming to workplaces and homes and schools. Is this America in 2024? Where we all just anticipate the inevitable arrival of armed squads from the government? Because it doesn't seem like the kind of America we'd all like to live in. Keep this in mind, however. The chaos, the uncertainty, the battle over legal boundaries of what a president can do, that's the point. So don't ever just take in all of these headlines and stew on the initial emotions, even though they're real. It's important to take a breath, to ask, what does this really mean? What's the impact? What aren't we being told? And what can I do to help my situation? Or if my situation's okay right now, how can I help with somebody else's? These are the kinds of things we're going to talk about with Melissa Baldoff in our next half hour and with Elizabeth Montemurro from Up North News in our second hour as we talk about the impact of something that's going to be a long, protracted legal battle as far as what a president can do with something called impoundment of not spending the dollars that have been allocated by Congress. So it's an expectation that these funds are spent. Does the president have the power to pick and choose what kind of spending moves forward? Or is that too far, will a court say, even for Donald Trump? Much more on this Up North News Radio Wednesday edition in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
There it is. Every TV theme from the 80s has that little keyboard bridge in the middle. Start off all action-y, but no, if it's a Mike Post TV theme, there's a nice little piano bridge in the middle. From Magnum PI, Magnum himself, Tom Selleck, has a birthday today. A big birthday. We'll tell you about that in today's history lesson. Coming up in about a half hour here on Up North News Radio, I'm Pat Kreitlow in Chippewa Falls, and Luke Mathers is standing by in Madison, pinch hitting for Greg Bach today. I will be one of those folks that'll tell you throughout the 80s, I am sure I didn't watch a single episode of Magnum PI. Everybody knew who he was. I mean, come on, look at that guy. Did you see that guy on Magnum? Luke, you have to admit, I mean, you think Greg calls you handsome and capable. I mean,
I'm no Tom Selleck. No, by no means.
None of us are. That's the thing.
I don't know how you get a mustache that good. Like that, you got to rock either. That mustache when you can. When you can have a mustache that good, you are obligated. Like you have a duty to.
Oh, and he does, and especially now in his older age. That thing has grown. It is the size of a Volkswagen bus now, sitting on his face. Because, and I don't know if it's for that Blue Bloods TV role where, again, I haven't seen that either, but he's like this big, you know, patriarch of a police family or something, right? Tony writes in on YouTube, if we're going to talk about 80s TV shows, you have to do that surprised look to the camera and then smile, you know, and then freeze.
Yeah, like I think that's what the keyboard riff is in there for, is so that you can account for all of those different, you know, freeze frames for the smiles.
Yes. Which my favorite still is when Leslie Nielsen was doing the police squad and they'd always freeze at the end of it, but they'd freeze like and keep rolling. So they're in this frozen position as the credits are rolling. And it was just always hilarious to see. But the whole detective thing, you know what I think ruined it for me? Starsky and Hutch.
Really?
They were just so good in the 70s. Well, that and Bo and Luke Duke. I mean, the mysteries that they solved. Why would I want to watch any other people solve mysteries after that, right?
See, I grew up on Scooby-Doo, so those were my mystery solvers. little different.
Do you, I mean, I've never been, the closest thing I've come is only Murders in the Building.
Oh,
you know, with Steve Martin and Martin Short and Selena Gomez. Mm-hmm. Have you watched it all the way through? Have you kept up with it?
I have. Because it's a little surprising. Mm-hmm. After the second season, it was like, oh, they're going to keep doing this. Okay. There's, it's been, I'll say the first two seasons were better than the last two seasons.
There you go. And like midway through the second season, we asked ourselves, is this becoming the Love Boat? Is this just a place where celebrities come on and make cameos?
It kind of is what it felt like. Once
and
you
the story
start
becomes
the big
secondary.
Names.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Paul Rudd had some fun with it those last two seasons, though, I think. The character
God, Paul Rudd?
Oh, you haven't kept up with it.
I did not. No, I did not. I told you. Midway through the second season, we just kind of forgot to come
back.
Just
petered out. Okay. Yeah, Paul Rudd is in season 3 and 4, and it's a very interesting dynamic.
Is he I worry that he's playing the role of Ted McGinley. Who used to come on, he was like the late edition of all these 70s sitcoms when they needed somebody new to kind of shake things up. But it always seemed like the show died shortly after he'd get there. Now, I will say, on Friends, he was a great late edition.
Yeah.
You know, but I just wonder if did he really add something to the show, or was it just like, oh, it's Paul Rudd. Who doesn't like Paul Rudd? He's so friendly. And he never ages.
I think the reason he was in season 4 was more along those lines, because they were worried that without him that there was going to be problems. But it when you continually have to be killing off characters, it does lead to some problems of story arc continuation.
Well, but that's the whole point of turning it into like a Love Boat. Who you kill off are the celebrities who'd be doing the cameos. They're not going to hang around anyway.
Yeah.
So I would just get to the point where every time I see a new celebrity coming on board, it's like, oh, how are they going to kill this one? You know. And then pretty soon they'll get a new, they'll do a new, you know, award, a Golden Globe Award for best celebrity TV murder, you know, or something like that, and get that done. The last time that we had any substantive conversation was at the end of the year, looking back at the year, and Top Chef Wisconsin, and Dan Jacob and everything else. And it's well documented your addiction to Top Chef.
So addiction, come on. Ooh, that's a little of a harsh, just fandom, just super fandom.
Yes, addiction. So what are you getting wrapped up in now, or do you just simply fidget until the next season comes on?
I'm looking forward to the next season's going to be in Canada, so I think it'll be very exciting to see.
Many ways you can make poutine, yes.
Yes, okay. I'm sure that they're going to have a lot of exciting Canadian-related challenges. It's I'm looking forward to that. That doesn't start until about late spring, I believe. Sometime in March and April, I believe, is when the seasons pick up. Right now, it's a lot of Bucks. It's a lot of waiting for the Brewers, spring training, pitchers and catchers report.
When is that?
11 days from now, pitchers and catchers report. So we're going to get under, I believe, the first, I want to say the first Brewers spring training game is 3 weeks from this Saturday. And nice. So it's coming up fast. I'd like to watch just anything on the Food Network, anything on the HGTV Game Show Network. Those are the things that I'm kind of twiddling my thumbs until more Top Chef.
And by the way, I don't think I'm spreading corporate secrets here, but Civic Media has added at least one more brewer station, and Civic Media is like the place, the radio group to go to for Brewers games this year.
5 different radio stations across the Civic Media radio network are a part of the Brewers radio network. So yes, our friends up in the Northwoods, get ready to listen to the Brewers on WBZH in Hayward this season. Really looking forward to adding them as an affiliate for the Brewers radio network.
That's awesome. We are going to have a lot to talk about there. Before we pause and talk more to Melissa Boldoff about Trump trying to freeze all federal assistance, let me recommend one other news article for you for your reading. Again, it's a heavier subject, but there's a lot of that out there these days. Seems to be the times that we live in. Our old friend Kristen Bry, who's now heard on another Milwaukee radio station, but also writes regularly for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, has a column in there today asking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And what she's asking is, will the issue about rape kits and the backlog developed during Brad Schimmel's time as attorney general, will that really matter given national opinions on sexual assault? The fact that Trump got elected, that Pete Hegseth was confirmed for defense secretary, the many other people Trump himself accused or in some cases found liable in court of sexual assault. Will rape kits even matter until people take issues like this more seriously and are trusted officials? So check out that from Kristen Bry. Melissa Boldoff is next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, we're going to try something a little different today, so you're not hearing our usual climate check music. We're going to get to climate issues with Melissa Boldoff, but Melissa has a lot of experience in politics in the state capitol and elsewhere, and given the recent events about what Donald Trump's trying to do to federal funds, we thought it was important to give a little background on what he's trying to do and, frankly, why it's probably illegal, but folks ought to pay attention anyway because it can really impact them. Melissa, how are you?
We're hanging in there.
That's the most honest answer. We finally get an honest answer about this. No, I'm fine. No, we're not
going on. No, we don't want to normalize this. This is not fine. What we're experiencing, but you know, we're gonna talk about it, and we're gonna make sure people know what's going on, and but it's not okay.
And that's the thing, no, because this morning marks day 10 of the administration. 10 days in, here's where we're at. It's all about a concept called impoundment, and whether presidents have the power to claw back money that Congress has already approved. Now, if this sounds a little familiar to listeners of this show, there's a reason why, because there's a bit of a spin on it happening here in Wisconsin, has been for a while, with a Republican-led legislature that has passed bills, has passed state budgets. The governor has signed them. And yet the legislature's Joint Finance Committee refuses to release the money to clean up water and to help kids with literacy programs and all of that. Now you've got a president who is refusing to spend money that Congress approved. And in both cases, Melissa, it really is, I think, a party that's gotten too big for its britches, that wants way more power than they actually have.
Here's, one of the main points here is that Donald Trump does not have the authority to do this. This is not legal. And in fact, a coalition of state attorneys general is challenging this. So this is not legal. It's immoral to be shutting off these funds that are, you know, providing really needed services and assistance to people that are impacting people and providing really needed things. You know, this is food, this is shelter, this is access to healthcare. This is impacting people all across the spectrum, across the country. And the president does not have the authority to do this.
No, and it really helps to illustrate to folks just how much we rely on and use, you know, our own government that we pay for with our tax dollars and should expect to get a certain level of services in return. I think a lot of people think government spending, when they hear about it, is some faraway term. But like I said yesterday with Hans Breitenmoser, a lot of farmers, for example, who voted for Donald Trump are now going to see suddenly their disaster checks or other conservation payments dry up. There's going to be people who work, like you said, in healthcare that are going to see some aid there suddenly dry up. They didn't vote for that. They may have voted for Trump for a host of reasons, but it wasn't for him to do a power grab for something that, you know, when you say it's illegal, it literally is illegal. Here, the law was passed because of Richard Nixon. And my God, in so many ways, how often do we talk about that, you know, the Trump presidency is basically Nixon's revenge, you know, 50 years later post-Watergate. But Richard Nixon would not spend money that Congress had appropriated to build the nation's highways and to address the pollution crisis. And so Congress passed a law and says, you know, presidents can't hold on to that money. If we approve it, if the president signs the law, the money's got to be spent. So this seems like it should be an open shut case. But of course, with this U.S. Supreme Court, I suppose anything is possible.
It truly is. And I think it really just goes to show that Trump and MAGA Republicans, they want to rule over us, not represent us. They want to have, you know, unchecked power for Donald Trump and just give him the opportunity to take away our freedoms, take away our ability to make decisions about ourselves, and allow for, you know, massive giveaways to those at the very top, paid for by working in middle-class families. So that's really what this is all about. And, you know, there have been a lot of distractions. That's what, you know, he always wants is a circus and distractions. And, you know, here we are now where, you know, he's doing exactly what we always knew he would do, right? And some of this, you know, we get to, you know, kind of the cruelty is the point, but people will really be hurt by this. And it is, you know, this is very broad and it's very confusing. When this, you know, guidance came down from the federal government, you know, they originally said, hey, you know, this isn't going to impact Medicare or Social Security, and it's not going to impact any assistance provided directly to individuals. But the problem with that is that a lot of assistance that goes directly to individuals goes through and is administered by another entity. So that's things like WIC, which gives provides food assistance and formula, baby formula to lower income moms and babies and kids. So it doesn't go directly to people, but it goes through states and tribal governments. That's things like Medicaid, which flows through states. And it's been reported that Medicaid portals have been down across the country. So that is impacting people's ability to access healthcare, Medicaid pays for things funded in our schools. So this is really going to impact people all over the country. Medicaid pays for about 40% of births in this country. So this is very wide ranging. It's very confusing. It came with very little guidance to states and entities that administer these funds. And there's really not a whole lot to know about the impact, other than the impact will be broad and it will be pretty devastating for a lot of people.
And if we can try to put this in a plain English version for people who don't follow any of this at all. Let's just use 100 as an example. Let's say that in the federal budget, it only spends on 100 things. Okay, it's obviously a lot more than that. And what Trump is saying is he has decided to freeze spending on all 100 lines, pending a review. And let's say that after he does that review, he's decided that, yes, the money can flow again in, items 2 through 40 and 81 through 99, but that's it. But that's the thing. That's, again, him trying to rule like a monarch, as if he has individual power to say, you get money and you don't get money, when, again, that's not part of his job. Congress approved those 100 lines of spending, and that's supposed to flow through until or unless you pass a new budget. You work with the Congress to have these things done. And by the way, Melissa, on top of that, you take away the inspectors general that Trump fired, a whole bunch of inspectors general from all these various departments late Friday. Now you have nobody doing oversight on how Trump decides to allocate the resources. There's no whistleblower resource in all of these agencies now. People really have just given Donald Trump a blank check, that, and it's coming right out of their accounts. However indirectly, it's going to hit everybody.
It's really just going to be devastating, unless Congress decides to step up and hold him accountable, or unless the, MAGA justices on the Supreme Court are willing to step up and hold him accountable, it's going to get really difficult for a lot of people.
I think that he thought, well, if they're going to give me unlimited immunity, they're going to give me unlimited power. And even as cynical as I am, I don't think that those justices are necessarily going to do that. Let's take our remaining time and hit a couple of climate notes. Again, we know how bad Trump has been already with pulling out of the Paris Climate Accords and things like that. The New York Times had an article the other day about how Trump is stocking the Environmental Protection Agency with lawyers and lobbyists for oil and chemical companies. Lee Zeldin, who's going to head up the Environmental Protection Agency, is expected to cut just a whole bunch of what they call regulations, I would say protections. But there's also his second in command is a lawyer who recently challenged a ban on asbestos. Let's let that sink in for a moment. The number two at the EPA is a lawyer who challenged a ban on asbestos. This is cartoon villain level stuff that's going on. Other top appointees include a former oil lobbyist who's going to work the new rules on auto emissions, and a lobbyist for the oil and chemical industries who's expected to be a top air pollution regulator. And I could go on and on, but, again, the point of all of this, Melissa, is to say, we know he wants chaos. We still have some individual powers out there. We don't have to buy the gas guzzlers. We as consumers can insist on certain products. We as constituents can tell our representatives, to fight for us. I feel like they're still in that vein of what we've talked about the past couple of weeks. They're still individual agency.
Yes, absolutely. No one should be pre-surrendering here. We know that, clearly he is going to be, stacking the EPA with these. Like you said, this is definitely cartoon villain stuff. I mean, you can't make this up. I mean, I did imagine a lot of bad scenarios, but you know, a pro asbestos guy. I didn't even get that far. So, but I think that, you know, one of the things that we will have working for us is that we have a lot more awareness. We have a lot more people who are having conversations about these issues. We have a lot of advocacy. We have a lot more education that's gone on in the public about environmental issues and about the negative health impacts about some of these issues. And that information has gotten to a lot of corporations. So yes, we have plenty of corporate actors that are bad actors and are going to be very happy about, you know, any weakening of protections. But I am still confident that we're going to have good corporate partners who are going to continue to make the right decisions that are going to put health and well-being first.
I would hope so, because there's so many corporate bad actors right now. As they're as I'm reviewing some of the other people who are going to be working in the EPA, one worked for the American Petroleum Institute and helped a group launch a seven-figure campaign last year about the Biden administration's working with the Environmental Protection Agency to pass some new air pollution rules about vehicle tailpipes. And this seven-figure campaign of advertising and phone calls, they referred to this as Biden's EPA car ban. And we've heard the thing about, you know, oh, they're banning gas stoves, or they're going to take away your lawnmower. Folks, if you hear anything that sounds with even a degree of hyperbole, don't pass it on. Be skeptical. Check it out. There's a good chance there's some kind of seven-figure corporate lie behind it. And that's the best advice that's the best advice we can give you at this point.
Right. If it sounds crazy, it's probably crazy.
Oh, I like that. That's the perfect way to end this one. Melissa Baldoff, thank you for a little note on climate and some current events in the news as well. And we'll talk to you a little later. Thank you.
All right. Sounds good.
You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Seven lonely days. And a dozen towns ago, I reached out.
Such
one
a classic,
night,
typical Elvis Presley song. Releasing Kentucky Rain this day in 1970. Melissa Kay is here as well. Melissa joins us from 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI. Melissa Kay, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
How are you?
I'm good. Doing good. Well. Staying warm.
Have you met Luke? Luke? Melissa? Melissa? Luke?
Good morning,
Luke and
Melissa.
I go way back.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I keep forgetting I'm the newer arrival here. So what's new? What you working on out there in central Wisconsin?
Well, we're digging into a story about a new $200 million AI computing center that is they're talking about building here in Wisconsin Rapids in 2026.
An AI computing center there?
Yeah.
Wow, these things are they're popping up like weeds everywhere.
Yeah, making use of the river and the dams, the power, excess power supply after our paper mill is no longer running. So
yeah,
you know, to see how that develops and how many jobs it actually brings.
It's the jobs, and then it's also that talk about the water, and yep. A lot of folks are only now kind of realizing these data centers, they don't just come up out of nowhere. You know, you need the infrastructure to run it. All those computers run really hot, and so you need cooling. And you can either pay for expensive air conditioning or you can water cool the building. And so, yeah, that'll be quite a topic that I'm sure you'll be following there.
Absolutely.
All right. We got a whole lot of 70s funk, shall we say, in the history lesson today. The number one song this week in 1977 was by Rose Royce.
Ooh, you might not ever get rich.
They don't make car washes like this anymore, like they did in the 70s. Drummer Tommy Ramone was born this day in 1949, passed away just over 10 years ago now. On this day in 1886, Carl Benz of Mercedes-Benz. Carl Benz patented the first successful gasoline-driven automobile. The first inductees into the Baseball Hall of Fame were announced. Melissa, you want to take a guess on one or two of who was in the first class for the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Baseball. Gee, Babe Ruth?
There you go. See, I knew if I get you could get one out of there. Let's see. Ty Cobb, Walter Johnson, Christy Mathewson, and Honus Wagner were part of that initial one. Happy birthday to Charlie Wilson. He's 72. He's the lead singer of the Gap Band. Luke, give us some more of that funk. Where is the disco ball when you need it here? Let's see. Not everything that came out during the 70s sounded like this. The number one song this week, 50 years ago today, 1975, was this not so funky one? Stop. Whoa, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Not funk.
Sounds a little more 50s.
What's that?
Sounds more 50s.
Well, it's a remake of the Marvelettes. When the Marvelettes did the original, it was the first ever number one record for Motown Records. And then the Carpenters said, well, hey, let's just strip anything out of that might be Motown or funk related. So that's what passed for number one music back in 1975. I got one more for you because Amy Stewart is 69 years old today. I honestly feel like I should have a polyester leisure suit on right now with all the 70s we've been dropping on you today. You know Tom Selleck?
Mm-hmm.
Want to take a guess on his birthday today? How old he is?
Oh, boy. I'm going to get it wrong. 76. Well,
80. It's a big one. Yeah. I know. Look at this. Tony noticing on YouTube. From Luke's facial reactions, I'm thinking he's not a big disco fan.
I was just disappointed there was no disco ball.
Oh, okay. Aww. Is that all it is? All right. Let's see. I like this guessing game. Oprah Winfrey has a birthday today. How old is Oprah?
Oh, boy. Let's go with 68.
Close. 71. Very okay. good. Heather Graham, the actress, is 55 today. Singer Adam Lambert is 43. And how about this one? Former Congressman and Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan. You know, he's in the gym all the time, so you probably can't tell how old he is, right? You want to take a crack at it?
You know, he seems like he's younger. 57.
See, that's what going to the gym will do. It'll make you feel younger. Oh, no, wait. He's 55. Apparently, he's not in the gym as much if we're guessing that he's older than he really is. It was on this day in 2009 that Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is removed from office following his conviction on corruption charges, Whoa. Including soliciting bribes in exchange for an appointment to the U.S. Senate seat to replace Barack Obama, who had just been elected president. Blagojevich sat in prison for a while before he was pardoned by Donald Trump near the end of his first term in office because, you know, crime does pay nowadays. This is the national day calendar, the Chinese Lunar New Year. This is National Carnation Day, National Corn Chip Day, National Puzzle Day. Are you a puzzle fan?
I am a puzzle fan. I love puzzles.
Right. How big a puzzle are you like, getting? Are you getting like these thousand-piece ones?
Thousand-piece. Oh. I did 1,000-piece on my vacation. Yeah, it was the library.
What was your favorite or the toughest one you ever did?
Oh, man. You know, my mom and I used to do a lot of puzzles together, and I still have the last one that we put together. Aww. And it's like an old timey shop.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. Oh, good.
Dry goods store kind of thing.
All right. Well, I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for stopping in every week and telling us what's happening up in the Wisconsin Rapids area. And let's close on the calendar by celebrating me. Because today is National Curmudgeon Day. It is all about the cranky old men. Get off my lawn, people. We will be back with the second hour of Up North News Radio right after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.